Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the podcast, and we're in Romans chapter 7. We're digging around into Paul's understanding of the law in the way that he is contrasting what's happened in the life of the believer so that we can serve the Lord in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, we talked a little bit about this in the previous episode, and I said I'm going to go into a couple other passages of Paul just to enlighten his understanding a little bit more. So let's do that. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's talking about the ministry that he has. It's interesting he uses this word serve in Romans 7, verse 6. He says, we serve in the newness of the Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians, he's also talking about his apostolic ministry, but not only his, the ministry of any believer, because we all have a ministry to do not only unto the Lord, but also in the world in which we live, in the lives of other people around us. So these are ideas that Paul is bringing across, and he's making it very clear that the way that we serve the Lord is now completely different than a way that people served the Lord in the past. So let me read from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And then he says in verse 7, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory on his face, fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. So the first thing I want us to notice in these verses in 2 Corinthians is Paul's reference to the new covenant. It is a new covenant that has replaced an old covenant. And the new covenant, Paul says, was not of the letter, but it's of the Spirit. The nature and the character of the new covenant is that it is a process of relating to God by the Spirit and not by letter. Now, the other reason I read these verses is because here in 2 Corinthians, Paul's going to give us a direct understanding of what he means by letter. You cannot even come close to drawing into question what he's referring to from these verses. Now, back in Romans chapter 7, he just alludes to the oldness of the letter. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he's going to define exactly what the letter was. And he does that in verse 7. He calls it the ministry of death in letters engraved on stone. This can only be a direct reference to the tablets of the Ten Commandments that Moses brought off the mountain. So Paul is saying that the actual commandments of God operated as a ministry of death. The commandments themselves were fine. It wasn't that the commandment was bad. Paul's going to go into this in detail in Romans 7. We're going to get to it in the next couple of episodes, so just be patient. So first, Paul sees the law as a place where sin comes in and takes opportunity through the commandment. Now, there's another little verse over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just want to throw it in as a foundational verse as well. Let me read in 1 Corinthians 15, 56, and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying that the law serves as a power source for sin. The power of sin is the law. Now, this is a crazy concept at first glance, but it's so essential for us to understand it and how it fits into what Jesus Christ has done. Now, Paul goes into detail in Romans 7. We're going to look at it in the following episodes about how it's not the fault of the law. The law from God, Paul calls it holy. He says it's perfect. It's not that the law is necessarily bad. It's that sin takes opportunity through the commandment, because sin operates at a human level where it entices the human nature with the commandment to disobey. This is a very important truth in Paul, in Paul's gospel, in his understanding of what God has done in Christ. Because what sin was able to do through the commandment, it was able to bring about death. So put it very simply, Paul sees the law as the source of power for sin. You know, I've talked about it, I think, early on in our study, and I'll use the illustration again. Where there is a commandment, then that commandment can be used by sin to bring temptation. It operates as a power source, a touch point. So the moment someone says, "Do not do this," sin comes in and says, "Do that." It arouses the desire in us to do the wrong thing. It is a deep and profound spiritual truth, and one that Paul is not going to sway from. He's going to illustrate it very, very clearly in his own life later on in the verses in chapter 7. We're going to get to those in just the next couple of episodes. But he's introducing this idea that the letter brings death. Even to the extent that he can call the letters that were written in stone, he can call the Ten Commandments a ministry of death, because he knew that sin was going to come in and it was going to bring a deception through the commandment that would lead all people to sin and ultimately lead them to death. Another passage I want to read in this episode is from Galatians chapter 3. I think I've read it already in our study of Romans, but let me read it again. Paul asks the question, because this is the question that comes to mind anytime Paul starts talking about the law. People want to ask, "Well, Paul, you're being quite hard on the law, so why in the world did God give the law in the first place?" He asks that question in Galatians 3:19. "Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made." So the law is the process through which sin is magnified. Sin takes opportunity through the commandment. Paul says it arouses in us the sinful passions in our flesh. It serves the very purpose that God gave it to do. It leads us to a place where sin increases, so that we can come to a place where we see the need for a Savior, because Jesus came to save us from the curse of the law. This is something so foundational to Paul's understanding of the gospel, and something that he's explaining in great detail in Romans 7. So I know it's difficult at times to get our head around the spiritual truths of what Paul's saying, but if you sit with it, meditate on it, ask the Lord to open it up to you, I think it's going to bring a lot of encouragement, because at the heart of the very essence of the law are two things that are going on. One is sin is working through the commandment to cause us to commit sins. And two is promoting in us a philosophy or a mentality that says we have to perform. We have to perform in our relationship with God in order to get a right standing before God. And Paul comes against both of these ideas. He says, "No, you have died to the power of the law. You have been joined to Christ so that you might bear fruit for him, and you have been given the Spirit by which you serve the Lord in the Spirit of life. And the life that comes is a life that it's abundant and full in Christ Jesus. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.